The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Scientists predict that there will be more plastic than fish in the ocean by 2050. What can be done to protect the natural world?
Isn't that incredible to think that? And with the climate change issue becoming even more urgent, with the point of no return edging even closer, there are many non-profit organisations and companies taking action, and one of them is Plastic Bank.
Its mission is to stop ocean plastic by monetizing waste whilst also improving lives. According to the United Nations, more than 700 million people, or 10% of the world population, still live in extreme poverty, surviving on less than $1.90 a day.
Plastic Bank waste collectors around the globe, which are located in some of the most poverty-stricken areas, make a living by gathering material and returning it to the Plastic Bank. It's then weighed and the value is deposited into an online account via a blockchain-based banking application.
Plastic Bank directly contributes to 14 of the 17 United Nations Sustainable Development Goals and is globally recognised as one of the most important solutions to stop ocean plastic. Plus, with shoppers expected to spend up to $150 billion on sustainable products by next year, the demand for recycled plastic is huge.
Yes, and here to tell us more on the model for our Sustainable Singapore segment this week, we're joined in the studio by Klaus Skadja, the Asia President of Plastic Bank. I hope I got the pronunciation of your surname roughly correct, Klaus, but welcome to Money FM.
Good morning, Ina. Thank you for having me on your show. Very close.
All right. Tell us more about how Plastic Bank works.
Yeah, so it's quite a unique model. So we started back in 2013 and in Haiti, and we kind of, you know, right after the earthquake, actually, there. And the founder, David Katz, you know, saw the catastrophe and the need for help. And he invented, you know, the Plastic Bank there as an opportunity for people to kind of make a living back on that. So what we do is, you know, we build infrastructure where there is no waste management infrastructure. We help build collection centers. We engage the local communities and give them an opportunity to create a job. We pay the market value plus a bonus on top of that to make sure that they can make a fair living. All that plastic that we collect, we then bring to a processor, and what we process into what we call social plastic, and we sell it back into the commercial world, who then uses as recycled plastic in their products like shampoo, bottles, detergents, and what have you.
So, full disclosure, Klaus is a really good friend of mine. And Klaus, I remember when you left your old job and you were looking for something new and you came across David Katz's work.
Yeah.
And I remember you us having this conversation and you describing it to me and how moved you were. I mean, just tell us a little bit about that journey, about feeling so moved by this Plastic Bank and then your involvement with it.
Yes, as you said, I'm 25 years in the corporate world. So I'm from Procter & Gamble 18 years and Luxottica for 7 years. So I've certainly made my kind of mess. It's only fitting that I'm now here in terms of, you know, help cleaning it all up. So for many years, I've been quite interesting in terms of poverty in particular. I joined different NGOs and sit on boards. And it's only really in the last, you know, 3-4 years I got really aware of the plastic issue, I have to say. I was not aware, you know, how big an issue it really was. And I was kind of like, you know, should I focus on poverty or should I focus, you know, on the plastic issue? And then accidentally I came over this, you know, TED Talk with David Katz I saw on YouTube. And those 12 minutes, you know, completely changed my life. And right after, you know, I saw that TED Talk, I wrote to him. And it went like this in terms of, dear David, I'm Klaus. I think you're amazing. I'm flying to Vancouver to meet you for a coffee. Would you meet me? And he said, yes, I will. So I jumped on a plane, flew to Vancouver, had a coffee, and now I'm part of the Plastic Bank.
I remember this so
well.
What a
story.
I remember you telling me that this is what you were going to do. And what was it? It was only, what, 2 years ago?
Yes. It's a year and a half ago. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. We're speaking to Klaus Skadja. He's the Asia President of Plastic Bank, trying to solve the problem of plastic. And he's originally from Denmark, but he is a veteran of Asia, having been here for something like a quarter of a century. And you've got collectors from Indonesia, Philippines, Haiti, and soon in Brazil. Why were these locations chosen first, and why are you headquartered in Singapore? How much does that help?
So actually, our global headquarters is actually in Vancouver, as this is where our founder is. You know, so I'm based out of Singapore. In terms of the countries where we focus on, so we look at very much in terms of countries and regions, you know, that have a high concentration of poverty and high concentration of waste management issues. And those are the regions that we first and foremost, you know, go into. This is where the biggest need is. So this is where we can help the most.
So how does it actually work in terms of what happens at the collection centres?
Yeah, so it, we go into the communities and first to understand, you know, what's already there. And in certain areas, you know, you will have an official sector in terms of waste management, which is mostly in the bigger city. And as soon as you go outside the bigger cities, you know, there is very little. But normally there is this informal sectors, which is scrap yards or junk yards, whatever you want to call it. And we tend to go in and start, you know, talking to them to understand, you know, how they operate. And then we start with them. And we find a way in terms of how do we empower them in terms of, you know, to do better, how to operate better. So we have a lot of expertise in that. Obviously, you know, we have, you know, our own app. We have our blockchain technology, so we can help, you know, them to create, you know, transparency into their inventories. As said, in terms of part of our model is really to make sure that the collector is getting a fair pay, which is not the case in most cases. So the price for recycled plastic as a commodity is very low. And as you can imagine, in terms of the collector, who's the smallest part of it, is not really getting the most of it. So we make sure, in terms of like they get the market value, but then we add that very important bonus to it that really makes sure they make a real increase in the livelihood for the collectors, you know, and the families.
There are different ways that Plastic Bank works. You also have a chain of stores that allows collectors to purchase things using plastic garbage as payment. How does that work?
Yeah, so it's a unique setup. So our collectors, you know, can go out and collect plastic. They bring it back to our centers. We will separate it in colors and types, and we'll weight it. And then the value of that plastic, they can then either get, you know, as cash, they can get it as digital savings, or they can, you know, buy the daily necessities, you know, in some of our stores, like, you know, rice, oil, soap, shampoo, whatever you kind of need in terms of this extraordinary in terms of, like, you know, if you have no money, you can just spend, you know, half a day or the full day and collect basically garbage, and you can support your family based on that. So that's a huge value. This is really what we're trying to do in terms of we want to change, you know, people's, you know, perception when they see plastic waste to see value instead.
Yeah, I mean, you're a Money FM, Klaus, so we always wonder about you're paying for this. You know, you're a non-profit organization and it's a fantastic cause, but how do you pay your staff, keep the lights on? You know, what's your business model?
Yeah, so we're actually a social enterprise, not an NGO. Which is very important. So I think it's very important to be profitable, to be able to expand as fast as, you know, as we need to do in terms of to solve the problem. So our business model is very much in terms of, like, you know, this plastic that we're collecting, we're selling back into, obviously, the corporate world, who has a huge need and demand for recycled plastic these days. So, you know, you cannot open a newspaper or open the radio and where you're not hearing about the plastic issue, obviously. And you will see that all big companies from Unilever to Coca-Cola, whoever they are, all of them have made, like, you know, real significant commitment. Most of them have, you know, a 2025 goal these days where 25% of all their plastic will be recycled plastic. So, when you look at it in terms of the amount that they're using today versus what they will need in the future, there's a huge demand of that. And obviously, in terms of, you know, when they're buying their plastic from us, you know, one thing is in terms of they get access to the feed of plastic that they need, but there's a real story to our plastic that makes it authentic. You know, we have made sure that there's a fair pay to the collectors. We make sure that the whole supply chain is clean. And that is obviously something that they can use as a point of differentiation versus their consumers, their stakeholders, and their investors.
What percentage of the plastic that's collected goes to be recycled afterwards?
So the majority of that will go back, you know, to that. So we're not just collecting plastic, obviously, because there's a cost, you know, associated to it. Luckily, you know, we have, you know, some great customers like AC Johnson, Higgles, so a lot of, you know, the big, you know, global customers, you know, are our customers, and more are coming all the time.
Are they quite active about also preventing more plastic getting into the system?
Yes. So I have to say there's, you know, in the last, I think, really year, there's a tremendous shift. So there's no more, in most companies, there's no discussion anymore at the boardroom or the executive level, you know, if the company should do this. It's all about how the decision is taken, right? Because this is what the consumers demand. You know, if you want to have a brand, you know, tomorrow, you need to make sure that your product is sustainable. And obviously, the packaging of it, you know, is a very good place, you know, to start.
We're speaking to Klaus Skelka. He is the Asia president of Plastic Bank about solving the problem of plastic. He used to work in the corporate world, but now is following his passion, following his heart. I mean, I always wonder if we do all the right things, you know, both individually and as companies and societies, is it going to make a big difference to the problem?
It is. So I struggle actually with the same kind of thing. What can I do?
Yeah,
it's just little me. And more often in terms of like, you know, how I want to do, but, you know, what can I do? And if we all say in terms of like, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, I cannot do, then nothing will ever get done. So it obviously start with ourselves. And in terms of like, you know, coming from the commercial world, in terms of, you know, I'm very much, you know, grown up with it, that the boss is the consumers. Because that's the person who holds the wallet. You have the ultimate power out there. So what we're trying to do is to make it as simple as possible, as when you go shopping in your supermarket and you want to buy, for example, a bottle of shampoo, you know, they all do the same job. They're more or less, you know, cost the same. But imagine, you know, you're standing in front of all these different brands and one of them is going to tell you a very nice story with their point of sales material that every time you buy this product, you will help prevent 10 bottles flowing into the ocean and you will have this, you know, social impact. Which product would you buy?
Yeah, definitely buy the one that's going to help society, you know.
Exactly. So now it could become, you know, as easy in terms of as choosing, you know, which products or brands that you're putting into your baskets. And that's, you know, a really good, you know, message, you know, to the companies in terms of like, you know, if you don't change, you know, I will swap brands.
Tell us a bit more about this social plastic movement.
Yeah, so we call it obviously social plastic is, you know, that, you know, where we really differentiate, you know, from others, because obviously we're not the only one in the world, you know, collecting plastic. There's, you know, plenty of companies in terms of, you know, to doing that. Where we really differ is in terms of that we take what we call a collector first mentality. So we really try to look at it in terms of those who are most vulnerable, you know, in society, and make sure that they're treated fairly. And that's in terms of, you know, where this extra bonus that I talked about, you know, really come into play. So by giving that bonus, that's really in terms of that gives them, you know, a way out of poverty and really increase the livelihood for themselves and their family. And ultimately, really what we want to do is in terms of we want to make sure that they don't have to worry about, you know, putting a meal on the table every night, a roof over their head. And very important for us is in terms of like, you know, we want to make sure that the kids go to school. That's the only way that the power cycle really, you know, would get broken. And to do that, we need to make sure that they have, you know, the right kind of income level to achieve it.
Singapore is becoming a lot more aware about sustainability and, you know, avoiding using plastic. My daughter at local school was told not to use plastic bags when you're getting your tea at the hawker center.
Yeah.
I know a lot of Singaporeans out there want to get more involved and join the movement. So how can they support what you're doing?
Yeah, so stop using single-use plastic today. So say no to plastic bags. I mean, my heart breaks every time I go to a cold store or any of the supermarkets and you see the amount of plastic bags. It's crazy. You go to food and beverage in terms of or bakers and see, you know, how they wrap. Everything is in plastic these days. Just say no. Bring your own cup when you go to Starbucks or whatever you get, you know, your coffee. Start reducing use refills at home. Find alternatives in terms of, you know, to plastic. And very important in terms of like, you know, if you're really unhappy, call the companies, write to the companies, you know, demand that they're using, you know, recycled plastic or their product is sustainable. And if they don't listen, stop buying it.
Yeah, that I think is so important. Just, you know, being vocal, having a voice. You have a voice. Use it. Use it.
Yeah.
Just lastly, future plans? Targets for 2020?
So 2020 is, you know, so we're actually getting together the whole global team next week to talk about, you know, 2020 and the next, you know, 3 years. And 2019 was an extraordinary year for us. And 2020 will be even better. So we have been very fortunate to have some big companies, you know, signing up in multi-year contract with us. So that's going to allow us in terms of to really expand, you know, where we operate. So both in the countries where we already are, but we're going to be starting in a few months. We're going to be starting up in Egypt. We're going to be starting up in at least two countries here in Asia in this year as well. And we're looking for another country in South America for 2020 as well. So busy year for us.
Wow, a man with a passion trying to solve the problem of plastic that is across the world. And he actually changed from the commercial world into this social enterprise. Many thanks to Klaus Skelka. He is the Asia president of Plastic Bank and a good friend of Manisha Tank, my co-host. Thank you very much, Klaus.
Thank you for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.